Good evening, everyone. I call the March 4th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt, if you could introduce our guests to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. They'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll play the national anthem, and then we're going to do some general communications and then come back to you.
Okay.
With the full introduction.
Thank you. So tonight, to do our Pledge of Allegiance, we have Nancy Curran. She's joined us tonight to talk about her grandson Landon and some medical issues that he's had and to draw some awareness. So thank you, Ms. Curran, for being here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Thank you very much. So at this time, we are on the general communications. We're going to do announcements of congratulations, condolences, and community events. And I'm going to go right back to Councilman Gephardt to introduce you. So at this time, general communications, this is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I would like to do a moment of silence for Harold Ricks, Councilman Ricks's father, passed away unexpectedly this weekend. So our thoughts and prayers are with Councilman Ricks, who is here with us this evening. So in honor of Councilman Ricks's father, Harold, I respectfully request a moment of silence. Thank you. Councilman, I'm sure I can speak for the whole council here that we're thinking of you, and if there's anything that we can do, please reach out. This is a very difficult time, and our condolences are with you, Councilman. Any other announcements under general communications from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, Councilman Gephardt.
Thank you. If there's ever a night when those young voices singing our national anthem was appropriated tonight. Tonight I've invited the Vasquez family to come and talk a little bit about a kind of a tough year that they've had. Their son, who's a classmate of my daughter Charlie at Cedar Hill, has gone through some medical issues, and it turns out I won't go too much into it. I'll leave that to the family. Aaron reached out to me and said, hey, we're trying to raise awareness. They're actually raising funds for the group, that is researching, the condition, that Landon has. They've raised over $47,000 already, on behalf of UNC Children's. And I thought, I offered for them to come tonight and to, you know, spread awareness with us and with the folks we have here in this room and to continue beyond. So without further ado, Ms. Curran.
First of all, thank you very much for having us here tonight. As you explained, it's been quite a difficult year. I'm speaking on behalf of my daughter, Erin, and my son-in-law, James, hoping I could get through it better than they did. Our grandson was normal every day running around, little four-year-old, and all of a sudden seemed to become a little weary, a little tired, you know, was having trouble breathing. They brought him into Hasbro Children's, and he was given a blood transfusion. He came back, seemed bubbly again, came to be a little four-year-old again. That was in April and May. Same thing happened again. He seemed to deplete and again was given another blood transfusion. He was taken back to Hasbro's Children's, and that was in August, at which time they admitted him. They did another blood transfusion, and he was diagnosed in September, which something we had never heard of anyone I mentioned it to, including physicians, including pediatricians. It's called IPH, which is idiopathic hematosis. It's a very rare lung disease. And what happens with Landon is when he gets a cold, as any normal child gets, he bleeds into his lungs. What happens with that case is he has scarring in the lungs and it's very difficult for him to breathe. So he went from a very energetic young child to somebody who, you know, was asking to be carried up the stairs. We were there and it took quite a bit of time, we thought, to diagnose it. And there was one physician that went through and said she thought she spotted, you know, blood on the lungs. That's when this came through. Hasbro did as much as they could, and we were then transferred over. My daughter found a wonderful physician, Dr. Alicia Casey at Boston Children's, who has been amazing. Landon has to go for treatments once a month, and they're three-day treatments, and they consist of 2 days, 6 to 7 hours of treatments, and on the third day, it's a 3 to 4 hour treatment. So for a little, he's now 5 year old, for a little 5 year old to sit there for that amount of time, he truly is my hero. What my daughter and son-in-law have been through is just, I can't even explain. I don't, you know, I wonder every day how they stand up. So we therefore sat around and felt sorry for ourselves for a while. And then we said, okay, it's not just Landon. There's a lot of other kids out there. So I reached out and was trying to find someone that would give a lot, would go to lung disease, but not necessarily to what Landon had. So I was looking for some physicians somewhere that were researching somehow this rare disease. We were lucky enough to find them at the University of North Carolina. We're working with Dr. Timothy Vesey and Evelyn Wu, who are researchers in just this. We've gone through a fund, Homesley's Little Light. We've hooked up with them because I have now created a corporation in the state of Rhode Island, which is called the Breath of Hope RI. I am now, we have just filed to become a 501c3, and we're waiting for that approval to go through. But in the meantime, to get the funds into this research, we've decided to go through this fund. That's another girl in North Carolina who was misdiagnosed. After speaking to the doctors, I realized that we were quote unquote lucky that Landon was diagnosed relatively quick. And when I said to them, can you give me the number of children? There wasn't a number. And their explanation to me was, it isn't a matter of how many children, it's how many are undiagnosed. So it's so rare. I have quite a few friends who are physicians and pediatricians, and we simply get the, oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. What is it? so we really want to get the word out there exactly what it is. A lot of diseases were rare at one point, and we want to make this a disease at least people know about. So at least if a child comes in with similar symptoms, that locally we would know what to test for and how to go forward. So we're trying to raise funds for Landon, obviously, but we're really trying to help a lot of other children out there too who have gone undiagnosed. And unfortunately, undiagnosed is not a good prognosis. So what we're trying to do is, as we set this up, we've, as you mentioned, we've had this fund going. We've raised over $47,000 in a matter of, I think it's been 3 weeks. Am I right, Erin? About 3 weeks. And that was just getting the word out. So going forward, we've lined up a run walk, which we have spoken to some people at the city, and we're hoping that maybe they can co-sponsor us with that. We're working on doing that at Goddard Park on May 18th. We're trying to get, which we've been working with Beverly at the city, to get some food trucks in there. And just, you know, it'll be funds, but it'll really be raising awareness. And going forward, once I do get that tax exempt, we'll be doing a lot more reaching out and going to corporations and such. we also have a golf tournament scheduled the 28th of September. And so we're basically trying to do outreach. We're trying to get people to understand exactly what this is so that somebody, when we hear the name, we at least test for something, you know, when we see these symptoms. So I appreciate your time and letting us come here and speak. And we do have some folders we can pass out, little leaflets. Just, again, it has a QR code on it just to read the story. So if you can tell your friends or tell your relatives, obviously there's donations there, but truly to get the word out, I'm a grandmother and I will go to the ends of the earth, but we will get a cure for this. I have not a question in my mind. We were lucky enough, a small miracle, to hook up with two physicians that are working exactly on what my grandson has. So I appreciate your time and thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And if you want to hand the information out to the Sergeant of Arms as well, he'll get it to all of us. And I know Councilman Gephardt will send around your information as well. Thank you. At this time, next up on the agenda is executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on February 26. Councilman Howe. Second by Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? And one abstention, Councilman Foley. Thank you. At this time, if there's no objections from my colleagues on the council, I would like to move to the public hearing. Is there any objections to taking up that item at this time from members of the council? Okay, hearing none. We are now moving on to number one, which is PCO 1-24. This is the public hearing, committee report, land use.
Recommend open public hearing.
Okay. For action, Councilman Sinapi. Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Gephardt and Councilman Ricks. So we are now in the public hearing. So the way that we do the... what's that? Oh, we have to vote that. I'm sorry. All those in favor to open the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we are now in the public hearing. So the way that this works here is we are going to ask if there's someone here to present the public hearing, the attorney or the applicant will come up and speak to the microphone. We ask every speaker to please speak clearly and introduce themselves. We have the stenographer here this evening. Then after the presenter presents this, I will ask members of the council if they have any questions or comments. After the council speaks, I will then ask, are there any individuals here that would like to speak in favor of this project? Those individuals will come up. Then I will ask, is there any individuals that here that are against the project? Those individuals will come up. And then I will give an opportunity if anyone just wants to be heard on this project, and those individuals can come up. Then we will close the public hearing. It will come back to the full council. The council can ask any additional questions that they would like, and then I will entertain a motion. So that is how the process works. So at this time, I'm going to ask, is there anyone here to present PCO 1-24 this evening? And the Sergeant of Arms will help you out here.
Thank you. I have to take a deep breath after that. It's difficult to hear family problems like that. good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sanford J. Resnick. I am an attorney, and I represent the applicants in this matter, Allen Bryan Realty Company and Worldwide Real Estate, Inc. This property is located at 211 Commonwealth Avenue. It's zoned residential A15, and we're here this evening to request an overlay district, which will be residential. It will be a residential overlay of A15. I think it's PDR, known as PDR A15. We've worked with the planning department over a period of time to come up with what we feel is an appropriate use for this property. We've appeared before the planning board and received unanimous approval of this with some minor waivers that we're asking for. And what I'd like to do is I have two members of our team, Josh Rosen, who's a civil engineer with VHB, and Ed Pimentel, who's my land use and zoning consultant, to present this and to go over this and answer any questions that you may have. So first, I'd like to have Josh Rosen, who's a civil engineer with VHB, come up. Josh. Do you want to swear Josh in?
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Josh to go over this and give us a picture of basically what this property looks like today and what the finished product would be. Josh, go ahead.
For the record, Josh Rosen, R-O-S-E-N, Rhode Island professional engineer with VHB offices at One Cedar Street in Providence. So as Mr. Resnick stated, we have a current residential zone for the two properties as part of this application. The two properties being Assessor's Plat 260, lots 38 and 39. So one of those properties today, as they're located on the intersection of College Hill Road just to the south and Commonwealth Avenue to the east, one of the properties is currently vacant. The second property right now has an existing single-family house on that property with associated infrastructure, driveway, and public utilities. So with this project, and Mr. Resnick did mention that we went before the planning board for master plan, we proposed a private land development, which would include the existing single-family house lot and create a condominium development of 10 total units. We would have four buildings that would be built on the properties after these two particular lots were merged together as one. And one building would have three units, being a triplex, and there would be three additional new structures, both being duplex structures. We've designed a master plan that included the appropriate driveway access and egress from College Hill Road, on-site parking, the projection for public utilities, both water and sewer, to the property. This parcel does have a cemetery in the western section of the property. We were had worked with the planning department, and the recommendation was made as we developed these plans to find a way to incorporate access to and from that cemetery area and protect it, which we are proposing to do in our most current site plan. We have a pedestrian system within the property for access out to College Hill Road, but also to that cemetery. So as Mr. Resnick stated, we've gone through that process. We feel like the use of this property sort of complements the existing single family home, number one, and the area surrounding it to the north and south, kind of ties together the commercial into the residential area, commercial being to the west on Bald Hill Road, and this property being off Bald Hill Road up to the east on College Hill Road. And I think that's pretty much a summary of the property, where it is today, and what we're projecting to do.
Thank you. And you had another individual you wanted to speak, Mr. Resnick?
Thank you.
Ed Pimentel is the land use planner, and when we swear in, I'll ask Ed a couple of questions.
City clerk will swear you in.
swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Edward Pimentel, for the record. It's P as in Paul, I-M-E-N-T-E-L.
I asked Ed to do a report as to the appropriateness of this development for this piece of property. Ed has a lot of experience for many, many years. He's familiar with, and he's testified many times on the comprehensive plan of the city, the zoning and planning, and he's the appropriate person to give us an overlay of what he believes is the appropriate use for that. So, Ed?
Sure. So the way we, Mr. President, members of the City Council, the way we designed this was done purposely to A, realize much-needed housing. The City of Warwick obviously wants to protect and preserve the few remaining green spaces you have, so your comprehensive plan directs housing towards infill development. But at the same time, we take into consideration character of neighborhood. So first and foremost, I did an assessment and analysis of the neighborhood. So you have single family to the south along Commonwealth. Across the street, obviously, it's all commercial with office in the Community College of Rhode Island. This lot, otherwise referred to as a pod in your comprehensive plan, these pod lots, is in a unique situation at the intersection of College Hill and Commonwealth. Directly across the street is a similar residential condo development. Next to it is the office condo, and it abuts the parking lot to the trampoline and other commercial on Bald Hill Road. Our intent was, it's in a transitional development manner, was to preserve and protect the character of the single family to the south. That's why we're preserving the home, and it's the only curb cut that's realized there, because that is what historically has been present. The single family not only maintains character and has a historical presence, but it also assists in buffering the remaining development. The remaining development fronts towards College Hill Road and the density that's already been permitted on College Hill Road. So it really is a perfect transitional, allows infill development and much needed residential housing. To that end, I took into consideration several things. Not only a review of your comprehensive plan, but equally your future land use map, the zoning designation, and what was the density in the neighborhood. So I compiled all that data on a single page, which was page 15 of 24. So we're proposing 10 units. The property in question has approximately 1.87 acres. That's the combination of the two lots. So we're talking about 5.34 units per acre, one unit per 8,100 square feet. The immediate neighborhood across the street is 10 units at 1.41 acres, slightly more dense at 7.09 units per acre, or one unit per 6,000. We're one unit per 8,000. The comp plan, which classifies, and we have to realize consistency, which we do, is a medium density. That talks about 1.2 to 6.1 units per acre. Based on the acreage we have, right, it would be 2.24 units per acre, or one unit per 36,000. It comes down to 11.41 units would be allowed. We're not asking for 11 units. We're not asking for 12 units. We decided to say even less dense than what the classification of the property is. And then finally, under your zoning, it's 6 units per acre. Once again, allowing 11.22. We didn't ask for that otherwise. The property across the street actually did develop right on point consistency. We felt we wanted to be a little less dense because obviously we do have the single family neighborhood to the south. We're maintaining the character of the single family home. We've actually incorporated the single family into our density. So we're not asking 1 plus 10, it's a total of 10. So based on that, I felt, and I was confident, we did present before your planning board, that this was consistent with your comprehensive plan, consistent with your zoning ordinance, and I feel it really does accomplish and further many goals and objectives of this community. So I don't know if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. And I know we have representative from the planning department. Do you have anything to say at this time? Okay, but she is available in case any council people have any questions. Okay, Councilman Sinapi.
So I'd be most interested to hear if there's any residents here to speak on it, but also I noticed there's going to be trash pickup privately. The only thing I wanted to comment on is there's a reoccurring issue with areas we have that have that exact situation where the residents inevitably get upset that they have private trash pickup rather than city pickup. And then they don't know why. And then they want to change it. And they often blame the city until I think every time it's turned out that it's been the development, it's been in their documents, but the residents either didn't know when they were potential buyers or once they became owners, it wasn't really common knowledge or even really obtainable knowledge, frankly, for them. So whatever way it can be made clear to potential buyers and to current owners, once they're owners, and not like a, like where in the world is Carmen San Diego situation, like obvious, easily accessible to anyone, because that's a reoccurring issue that I don't want to occur here.
May I respond to that? I'd say what we've done, because this is now, in many cities and towns, we face the same thing. So when we do the condominium documents, we do a public offering statement, which is like a prospectus, and then we do a condo declaration, and that is in the condo declaration and the public offering statement in regards to garbage pickup. As a matter of fact, here, we originally were going to have a dumpster, and meeting with the planning department, they had some comments from the neighbors in regards to that, so we will not have a dumpster. We're actually going to have private barrel pickup, which will be contracted by the condo association. So we do the best we can because that is an occurring problem.
Good to hear. And I'll reserve any other further comment to what I hear tonight.
Sure. Of the 10 units, are there any affordable housing type, anything you're putting in for those 10 units?
No.
And are they one bedroom, two bedrooms, or?
I believe they're all two.
To two bedroom units. Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think a lot of the people in this room know that I have certainly my fair share of dealing with developers over the years. And one of the concerns that I have, it's going to be speaking to this particular application, but it goes far beyond that, is when things are coming before us for approval from a developer, we have these agreements and we have all of these things that everyone agrees to, and you know, we're gonna play nice and it's gonna be, you know, really fun in the sandbox. And then what I see happens, and it happens on a regular basis, is that these requirements that are put on the property owner or the developer, such as height requirements. You can't have anything higher than X, or you got to do this, you got to do that. Well, it's all agreed to, but then at some point down the road, it all falls apart and nobody's doing anything about it. And nobody's following up about it. And these agreements don't have any legal recourse should you or should that particular entity not do it. So that becomes more of a concern to me because I see it happening more often than I would care to. In this particular instance, you had mentioned, or someone had mentioned, about historical district. Is this a historical district?
No, it is not.
Okay.
But there is... there are on-site walls, and the walls will be reused, and you have to present a plan to the Historic District Commission on the reuse of the wall of the stone.
What do you mean reuse?
Because the walls are in the middle of the property.
Yeah.
So the walls will be taken down and will be reused pursuant to a plan.
By whom? And I'm asking you
within the condo.
I'm asking you that because I had that very issue happen in my ward where a developer came in, was building, you know, these units and was literally taking stones off the walls to do the facade of the house. And obviously that got me, as you can tell right now, it got me upset. And we had that whole project stopped right then and there. So let me finish.
Sure.
So you're saying repurpose the wall. Who is those walls, by the way, that goes back to Mayor Avedisian. Mayor Avedisian passed the ordinance that declared these walls historical walls. And that's a very important issue. for the city of Warwick. And when you say it's going to be repurposed, who is going to be repurposing it? Is it someone that is experienced and knowledgeable in removing, relocating, and rebuilding a historical wall? Or is this someone that's used to, you know, well, let's pour, you know, 5 inches of concrete or a foundation? There is a big difference there.
Well, first, let me just say this. So we're very early in the stages of development. We only have a conceptual master plan. So we will be working with our landscape architect. We have no plan yet. So we're working with our landscape architect that will be presented to HDC and presented to the planning department and at another public hearing. So we will have a plan ready at that time before the planning board and HDC, both.
That's why we're having this conversation right now, because you're going to be coming back to us again.
We're coming not here. We're going to planning again. We could go, well, at least one meeting at planning, and then we have to go for final. Whether that's going to be administrative or whether that's going to be before the board, we don't know. But we have to go to HDC for the stone place reuse.
So you do not come back before the city council for approval?
Not only, well, for the second vote, if necessary, but yeah. We don't plan to. We're here because in order to do the multifamily, we need a zone change to the PDR, which is the overlay district.
But in this discussion, you are revealing or bringing up other things that come into play after this passes, and you just brought up the walls. And for me, that is a concern as to who is going to relocate or rebuild these walls. So keep that in mind for whatever future approvals that you're seeking. The other thing is on item number 5 here in this package, it says that prior to preliminary plan submission, the applicant shall coordinate with the historic cemetery commission regarding the cemetery on site. And there's a bunch of other things, a total of 12 items. First question, has all of these things been performed?
Again, we're at master. We've only been to master. So we have a lot of work to do before we can meet the checklist for preliminary. There's many items. We're here because there's only so much work that we want to do on these projects before we know we can do it. So we have to get the zone changed first. So we have a lot of work to do. We'll work with planning department and before the planning board. All those items are on our checklist, and all those items will be complete before the next hearing.
Well, that's good. But the checklist is what I'm concerned with, because I have my own checklist. And when it says shall coordinate with the Historic Cemetery Commission regarding the cemetery on site, so are we to assume that whoever wants to visit and pay respects to whomever is in that cemetery is going to be guaranteed access to that in perpetuity?
Absolutely. There is. If you were to look at the plan, there is a right of way on the plan.
Okay.
And the agreement that the condo association will maintain this. That's one of the conditions of approval.
We'll maintain it. Maintaining and allowing is two different things. You know,
well, there's two things. One is the access. In other words, is to maintain it.
Okay. Item 12, it says that the property owners, I assume that's going to be the condo owners in
that's
totality?
Correct.
The association?
The condo association, okay. Correct.
Shall be responsible for the long-term maintenance of the access in the cemetery on site. This is one of the things that I was referring to when I first started speaking about the well-intended commitments that are made that, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, no problem, guarantee you. So what happens if in 5 years from now that the ownership of that condominium association changes, not the same owners as what's in place today, and for whatever reason, they don't maintain this access, so they don't maintain the cemetery. Is there anything in the agreement that provides a legalese to the city or to any family that perhaps may have a family buried in that cemetery. Is there anything in this agreement that's going to hold feet to the fire?
So more than one. So number one,
if that association, for whatever reason, doesn't have the money to do it, can't afford it, we can't increase. I live in a condo association, so I got a pretty 21 years of experience dealing with condo associations, and all good for that matter. So is there anything in this agreement now or in the future that would provide some legalese if that wasn't taken care of?
Can I invoke point of information so that the solicitor can provide information as to how the stipulations work? Please. Sure.
Go ahead.
Should the council proceed with a favorable recommendation with the content of the waivers, stipulations, and conditions, they would have to fulfill all these things as part of the process. So what is itemized here, we're proposing specific relief and subject to itemized stipulations that were the unanimous recommendations of the planning board. And so they would have to fulfill these items in order for the zone change to occur.
So essentially what I'm trying to do is just to provide a heads up as to some of the concerns that I may have as they're putting together these stipulations.
So I started answering, but really more than one way. First of all, if we're in violation of any of the decisions that were made, by whether it was made by the planning board or the council, there's a zoning enforcement officer who has the authority to fine the association on a per-day basis for any violation. So there is, and it happens, so that's one way. And the other way is we set up a budget at the beginning, and it's a budget item. That'll be a line item for maintaining the cemetery. Whatever we get for a cost from our landscapers, that will be a line item, and everybody has to pay. If they don't pay, they can be foreclosed. So there's a lot of weight in the association. Unlike a homeowners association, a condo association is statutory. So if you don't pay, then you can get foreclosed. And we're careful with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A couple of questions. So I understand that there is a further process here and that that's why there aren't conceptual drawings in front of us. So this question is based on a question that I received from a constituent. Would there be garages or the like for each of the condo units, or what would the plan on that look like in general?
We actually have plans. There's one garage per unit, right? There is one garage per unit.
Okay, that's helpful. And then I suppose that this has nothing to do with this condo development in particular, but just more of a general comment that to touch on the discussion having to do with the condo association taking care of the waste pickup as opposed to the city. This is something that I know that practically every city and town in Rhode Island is pushing as a requirement for certain new developments that are within a certain size, especially condominiums and the like. But I'm just going to put a general comment out there that I've seen these types of situations really backfire where, for example, my wife's condominium that she used to have in a different town before she moved in with me, that condo board, it was not willing to pay a little bit extra to have the recycling pickup took the slightly cheaper route of having the trash pickup only. So simply in my opinion, I think that this is something that the city of Warwick and other cities and towns should be considering the impact on the environment instead of just the pure cost to the taxpayers in that regard. But that has nothing to do really with this application in particular. I know that there is the general trend where these different condominium developments are encouraged to go this particular route to save the city money. So I think that my questions have really been answered through the packet materials provided to the city council and through the discussion here. I think that this is from all of the information I've received so far, and of course I'll keep an open mind until all of the comment closes, city council and otherwise. But I certainly agree that the city of Warwick, we need more housing, and the information presented is indicating to me that this is an appropriate development for that particular area. That's all my comments for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Just a quick cleanup item. The on our agenda,
we're on it. We're going to do an announcement.
Yeah. So just in case anyone was going to make comment later, so the address is incorrect on our agenda. However, it was advertised under the proper address. So everything here is proper. We'll just need to tidy that up at the
correct. This listener is going to make a statement. We can do it now if you like.
Thank you. On line 16 of page 1, there is a reference to Centerville Road, and this appears on the agenda as well. We bring this up during the public comments so that folks are aware, and that the recommendation would be to for the council later this evening, as part of its consideration, to entertain an amendment to correct the typo referencing Centerville Road, and it should be Commonwealth Avenue. The newspaper publications were submitted properly. This is a housekeeping item on our end. The references to the plats and lots are proper from the legal side. Otherwise, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Gephardt. Any other questions from members of the council? Okay, hearing none. So this is how we're going to ask. We're going to ask if there's anyone here to speak in favor. I will ask three times. Then I will ask if there's anyone to speak against three times. And then I will ask if anyone would like to be heard. So I just ask any individual that comes up to speak, please speak directly into the mic and give your a name. And we'd like to hear what you think on this project. So are there any individuals here this evening that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any individuals here that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any individuals here that would like to speak in favor of this project? Favor? Okay. Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Come on up to the microphone, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, hi. My name is Grant. I actually live in the College View Court community. That's the condo across the street from the proposed development. I think in the testimony tonight, there were some comparisons drawn between this new development and our existing community.
Excuse me, sir. I need your full name, please.
Oh, sure. Okay. My name is Grant Kokoska, K-O-K-O-S-Z-K-A.
Go ahead, sorry, and just right into the microphone. It's
sure, sorry. So, as I was saying, you know, there have been some comparisons made between the new proposed development and our existing one. But I think that there was something that, you know, there's a distinction there that wasn't really made, which is that our existing community is between Commonwealth Avenue and an office park, right? This plot of land serves as a buffer between a residential area and the commercial zone of Route 2. So loss of that area as the natural area that it is today would, you know, reduce the acoustic, the noise buffer zone, the light buffer zone at night, the visual of looking now at the back of a mall, right? So I think that these are things that would have a significant impact on, you know, the community and the quality of life and the property values if this development were allowed to move forward as it is. So, you know, in Warwick, you have a lot of development, a lot of commercial and residential, but there are a lot of beautiful places too, including around that you know, night campus that we have. I really hope that the aesthetic be considered before making a special provision to put these, you know, shoehorning a lot of very narrow, tall buildings into a very thin plot of land that serves as a buffer today. So thank you.
Thank you. So anyone else would like to speak against this project?
Hello, my name is Nancy Ellis. My husband and I live at 255 Commonwealth Ave, just, I guess, one house between us and this proposed property. I know it doesn't seem like it being so close to Route 2, but this actually is a really peaceful neighborhood. All of the houses on this street are single family homes, pretty much, with very large backyards. Our property is about the same size as this proposed lot for the condos, about 1.87 acres. And I cannot imagine putting 10 condos in my backyard. You are not only eliminating all of the yard for these poor people who live to the south of these, you're affecting all of us on this street. It is, the idea to me is to put the garage on the bottom and then two levels of condo on top with balconies on the back. Those balconies are going to be facing all of our backyards. We don't currently have anything like that. We are very secluded by tree line from all our neighbors from Route 2. Everything is pretty nice and quiet, and just adding 9 to 10 units, adding 9 to 18 new residents is just really going to change the lifestyle of everybody who has lived on that street for a very long time. Again, I know the comparison is made to the condos across the street, which are, to me, very different. Their balconies are all either facing businesses or empty street and then woods on the other side. It's not affecting anyone who has a backyard, who likes to spend time in that backyard, run around with their children in their backyard. But putting these units into this particular wooded property is going to change that for all of us who live nearby, not to mention the historic house right next to them that's been around since the 1700s. The idea of cramming condos and taking down all those trees from that property genuinely breaks my heart. And I know that there is talk in the plan to put new trees in. You're never going to replace the tree line that there is now. Once they take everything out, once you get rid of trees that are possibly dying and you put new trees in, it's going to take decades before those are tall enough to give us any type of privacy, any type of noise reduction, any type of view again. And that's just heartbreaking. I just think it's too many people for this small neighborhood that already has buses going through it and ambulances going through it and fire trucks going through it, because it is a cut through street for the hospital. There's a fire station right down the street. There's a lot of action around there already with no sidewalks, and to just add that many more residents just doesn't even seem safe. And I'm not foolish enough to think that a beautiful big piece of wooded property is just going to stay a beautiful big piece of wooded property. I know at the last planning board meeting, their lawyer had said something to the effect that if these condos didn't go in, the owner was thinking of maybe putting houses in. I would rather have houses. I would rather have other people with backyards and kids that my kids could play with and go to the schools in this city. And I just would rather see something like that here than change the zoning to let them put all of these condos in, because I think it's really going to destroy the lifestyle of a lot of people on that street. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next individual would like to speak against this project.
Yeah. Good evening. David Marzilli, and my family owns 237 Commonwealth. So the immediate abutting property, and Nancy, who lives right next door with her family, did a nice job of explaining some of the concerns. And then the gentleman, I'm not sure what your name was, but he did a great job with some of the concerns as well. So that stone wall, that'll be taken apart. I grew up there. We've been there for over 60 years. Many family parties now with these 10 units. Some of these units are going to be right in our backyard. So forget about any privacy. As many trees as they can put up, like Nancy mentioned, that won't bring back the privacy. Increased traffic flow. I know they did some traffic studies, and some of the studies said during peak hours, and I know that they use analytics and things like that, but during like the morning commute, you have 10 units, you know, you're probably going to have at least two cars per unit, maybe one with some. Just say you had 12 cars. They're saying there'll be three cars coming out during peak hours. So as Nancy mentioned, there aren't sidewalks. The increased traffic flow could be dangerous. And I'm concerned about drainage as well. When we went to the planning board, it was discussed a little bit, but I never saw a plan that showed. I know roof runoff is a big concern these days, where I just built a house myself in another community. I actually lived in 237 for a year and a half before we built it. And we were required to put in rain gardens on a single family home. I live on 7 acres. My roof runoff is not going to impact anybody, but in North Kingstown, that's what they required me to do. I'd like to make sure that as this moves forward, that something is done and make sure that DEM approves how they're going to handle roof runoff for these 10 units that aren't going to impact our property. We have a main house and a barn. We have two barns. It's beautiful. It's quiet. It's just like Nancy mentioned, everything from First Communion parties to Easter egg hunts have been held over there. It's going to be a little different now with all these people in our backyard. I know that there was Mr. Resnick and the engineer had explained at the other meeting, I think one or two of the units will not have a back deck. I wouldn't want to see any of them with a back deck because now these people are going to be right in our yards again. As Nancy had mentioned earlier, you know, a single family home or two, I guess if there has to be, but just ruining that community feel, a residential community. I know that there is another residential condo where the first gentleman that spoke, they have that there, but further on down, there are more residential. So it's residential up and down Commonwealth. So even though that's there, you go a little bit further. I guess that would be considered north. If you go a little further north, it's all just single family residential homes. So I'm concerned. I moved into a small neighborhood that had some historical stone walls. It was said that they were supposed to be reused. The developer just never reused them. He said, oh, it looks better with the new stones. They built a wall, but with new stones. So when we speak to what the gentleman on the end had spoken to about reusing it, I'd like to see a plan, if this has to go through, how they're going to reuse that. Because taking down stone walls that have been there for over 100 years and not reusing them concerns me as well. The big things for me, if it has to go forward, is ensuring that you don't impact any of the people living there. Like I said, our property abuts it immediately, so the concerns are with drainage, having the right trees put up if it has to go through to make sure that the plan is actually followed. We've all been in that situation where the developers don't eventually go through, and then I ran into that situation. I had to get a lawyer. The town said, oh, we can't take it that far. You have to get your own lawyer. So if it does go through, just want to make sure that all these beautiful plans they have and the renditions are followed to the T, and that there is follow-up, as the gentleman on the end had mentioned. You know, who's going to hold them accountable? It shouldn't be the residents. It shouldn't be myself. It shouldn't be Nancy's family. It should be the town, if, again, this has to go through. I think that's about it for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak against this project? Come on up.
Hi, forgive me. I've been listening to the stream all night, and I literally just drove here because I really needed to speak against this. I am Christina Elgar, E-L-G-A-R. I live at 6 Adrian Street off of Strawberry Field Road. Where are the CEOs of these development companies from? Does anyone know? Where the CEOs of these two development companies live?
That's not before us at this time. But
well, one of them in their name does say worldwide. There's a bunch of issues with zoning this. As many promises as they can make regarding all the issues that people already brought up, ultimately what they're going to do is they're going to sell the houses, and then everyone else that buys these properties are just going to be locked into something. Hopefully they continue to pay for it. Hopefully in 4 years, they're not here arguing with you. Someone already brought that up. Condos don't solve housing crises. They kind of already showed their hands when they said that they were just going to be two bedroom properties. So they're not, this isn't going to bring families here, which everyone loves Warwick as a family place. It's going to bring young professionals. So that's good, but we need to maintain that green space. I go to CCRI. I just did a project in my mapping class last semester where we ran out and we looked at all of those stone walls. Again, if we try to make this company agree to do something with the stones to keep them there, like they're going to cash out and then they're going to forget that it exists. They're literally not the ones that are going to be held accountable when this stuff actually happens. Also, that hill is an extreme high point in Warwick. CCRI basically is like the highest point, and it's like right there. So the person before me mentioned runoff pollution, all of that. It goes downhill. It's going into streams. It's not going to be good. If we are going to allow someone to turn this into condos, we should be enforcing a smarter plan. Urban planners know that separate houses that are afraid to touch walls means less people live in given acreage. The math just doesn't work out. Also, my last note, HOAs function as a way to ensure only the people who can afford the fees and upkeep ever live there. And I don't stand for that. They're gonna have hundreds of dollars. They're only gonna be allowed to have a perfectly green lawn, and all their fertilizer is gonna run into our river. And it's just awful. Please, please, please do not let them go forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak against this project? Is anyone else here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to be against this project?
Sergeant James Torres, 4080 Pulse Road. I'm not here to speak against or for it, but I was there.
Hold on 1 second then. I just want to give one last opportunity. Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Okay. Is there anyone here that would like to speak to be heard on this project?
Sorry about that, sir. All right, Sergeant James Torres, U.S. Army, retired, 4080 Post Road. I attended the Tuesday, February 27th meeting for the Land Trust Committee. They had a couple concerns with how traffic is going to look like with the construction there, because it's like the intersection there. If you look at the other road, what's the other road? Centerville Road. Right now, they're redoing I don't know if it's the water pipes or something, but there's a lot of traffic there during the daytime. How's that going to affect the traffic there within that intersection there?
If you had traffic, you will have the traffic studies done, correct? For any type of project, there has to be a traffic studies. You have to, on the mic. We have to be on the mic, so.
So in regards to the traffic study, always a pertinent point, with the preliminary application that we're required to prepare through planning, should this go forward, we have to include a final study of the traffic, the circulation, the level of service surrounding the property. And we also look at other future build or current build developments to assess any traffic-related concerns at that time. So that would be covered at our next phase of our detailed design work.
Thank you. And your name just one more time for the record.
Josh Rosen.
Thank you. Sergeant?
Do I have to introduce myself again?
No. Nope.
All right. Yeah, like the main concern was the college traffic there, after school traffic, as well as like traffic like leaving the mall that's cutting through, because a lot of people cut through the CCRI just to get to like Appanagan and stuff like that. So that's the reason why I wanted to ask that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to be heard on this project? Is there anyone else here that would like to be heard on this project? Is there anyone else here that'd like to be heard on this project? Okay, hearing none, can I get a motion to close the public hearing? Yeah, we're going to close the public hearing first, and then we'll come back to you guys. Yeah, I would like to close the public hearing first. If there's no more members of the public that would like to speak, then we'll go back to the full council.
How about hearing from the representative from the planning department?
Okay, again, I would like to close the public hearing. We had public testimony, correct? All right. Do we have a motion to close the public hearing? Councilman Howe, second by Councilman Ricks. All those in favor? Aye. Okay. Now, any members of the council with any additional questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask if Lydia could come to the podium, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I was asking if Lydia from our planning department could come to the podium.
Council President, honorable members of the board, Lydia Cruz Abreu, Warwick Planning.
Hi, Lydia.
How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. Lydia, is there anything in our charter or ordinances governing the historical walls? Is there anything that allows these walls to be relocated or repurposed?
Yes.
There is.
Yes. One of the stipulations in the decision letter references the Historic District Commission will review the application. As part of that application, the applicant's engineer will, and their landscape architect will provide a plan showing the existing location of the wall, the existing location of the, I'm sorry, the proposed location of the proposed buildings, and then how many of the walls need to be removed and how they can be remediated on site. So I'm not certain if you have a copy of the plan in front of you, but some of the instances that they have shown in which they would like to propose to the HDC, which again has not yet heard this, are to have a stone wall, a knee wall, not a retaining wall, along the buffers of the property, and to use it within the fencing, within the signage of the property. We also have had, so if I can refer to some other sites that have had stone walls that we have had the use. If you, on West Shore Road, we had H.A. Fisher Homes do a development there. They were the stone enders. There were some stone walls on site. They actually replicated the stone enders on that site using the walls, some walls that they found on site. There weren't as many walls there, but they were actually used on site. And this, the Historic District Commission will review and approve the locations and the design for the walls.
In the build out?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you.
That answers my question. I will have a proposed amendment, but I'll wait for the appropriate time.
Councilman Sinapi.
So I similarly have questions for planning. Based on the complaints from the residents and the concerns they stated, I'm curious as to what, if anything, has been considered or will be considered when it comes to the visibility into others' yards, because while that's, some people might not find that a problem, but when you actually get there in person and you see what the new structure is and how it looms over, it matters. And this has been resolved in other parts of my ward by the developer putting in arborvitaes to ensure that within no time at all that they will have the privacy that they had before the development came in. So I'm curious as to whether or not that's been considered or will be considered going forward.
If I may, it was our suggestion And we agreed to it. It's in the decision that we will have enhanced landscaping on the southerly boundary line. That's in our decision, and we understand that. And let me, if I can add a couple of things. Under the A15 zoning, before the overlay district, there's a setback of 20 feet. Once we change this to the PDR A10, that setback will go from 20 to 35. So there's additional space back there with the enhanced. So what that means is that our landscape architect will be working with the city to come up with a plan.
And Lydia, does that mean that as further along the process, that will be part of the requirements in place?
Yes, correct. That's part of the requirements for a PDR, which is a planned district residential overlay. There are buffers to the commercial and to the residential that are not required as part of a standard single family development. So essentially, a single family home can cut right up to the property line without a requirement for a buffer. In a PDR overlay standard, the minimum required 20 feet. In that, our building official and our landscape architect that we have on staff hold to that standard that within those buffers, they're not allowed to put any use. So that first 20 feet will be landscaping, fencing in that area. And that would be along the westerly property line that abuts the launch trampoline park now. And that will run all the way across and down to the easterly, so the southerly property line of where this gentleman's property abuts. Additionally, the developer has agreed to not have decks on some of the units to address some of the concerns that were presented at the planning board hearing relative to those, to this project. And they've added some additional landscaping beyond the standard requirement to provide a visual buffer to the decks that will be placed.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I very well may be, if the house, if the proposed houses instead were put in, the buffer would be less and there'd be no such requirement for the landscaping or for the avoiding of the patio or deck on the higher level ones.
That is correct.
All right. I might have further questions, but none at the moment.
Any other questions for members of the council? Councilman Gephardt?
Having lived through similar construction, expectation setting, right? The landscape plan will be sort of a final step, right? So over the course of the construction of the project, you know, it would likely get fairly bare, increasing the exposure. And then as the property were cleaned up and the final site work completed, then the landscape plan would come into effect. So, you know, for the folks who will, you know, live adjacent to this, you know, get worse before it gets better. But I think, Lydia, would it be standard practice or would it be practice in this case that landscape plan would become a matter of record in the approval or at least the minimum landscape plan?
Yes, that is. So landscaping is required at the preliminary phase. They've already provided us some significant assurances as part of the master plan phase, initially in the review process before we even were ready to present the project to the planning board. There were some amendments made to many different items, including the number of units that were reduced from their original request and the landscaping that we were looking for. The landscaping is correct. It is at the end of the process that landscaping is installed, usually at the final building certificate of occupancy is when the landscaping is installed.
Got it. Yeah, so just to you know, word of advice, if this were to move forward to the neighbors, to borrow from Councilman Ricks's favorite line, the best time to plant a tree is 5 years ago. The second best time is today. So, you know, there's preparation that can be made, but certainly all construction is and development, you know, can be has an impact on those around the construction. So I think those are all my questions or comments for now.